Chapter 36. Alicia raised her head out of her hands as Jesse approached her. Her eyes were bloodshot and teary. Her mascara had left black streaks and smears on her cheeks. Jesse noticed the blood on the sleeve of her jacket and on the edge of her white sweater sleeve. He asked, "Are you hurt?" She shook her head furiously. "That's the Vic, the suspect's blood. I had to check to see if he was alive. I can't get warm, Jesse, I just can't get warm."
"She's shocky, Chief," said Tommy Simonetti, the EMT who was attending to Alicia. He laid two blankets over her shoulders. "She should be okay in a couple of hours."
"Tommy, can you give us a minute?" When the EMT was out of earshot, Jesse said, "I need you to surrender your badge and weapon. It's department policy. You're suspended with pay until further notice." She handed Jesse her ID case.
"Peter already bagged my weapon, Jesse," she said, grabbing his wrist. "I swear to you, he fired on me. I know there's no gun on him, but I swear it."
"Alicia, you're under no obligation to talk to me or anyone else. As chief, I want you to fully cooperate with the investigation. But you've got rights. Get yourself a good lawyer. The town is obliged to cover the costs up to a point, and the system, as screwed as it is, only works if everyone is protected."
"I understand, Jesse."
Jesse turned and waved Tommy back over. When the EMT returned, Jesse said to Alicia, "Are you willing to let the EMT draw blood for the purposes of determining your blood alcohol level? Your contract says that under these circumstances you are required to take a breathalyzer test, but I can try to get a court order to compel you to."
"No need, Jesse. He can draw blood. I already told Suit and Peter how much I had at the Gull."
"Listen, Alicia, this is going to be investigated by the state police. So even if I was inclined to give you the benefit of the doubt, I can't help you. Remember what I said before. You're under no obligation to talk to anyone, and get a lawyer."
"I understand, Jesse. I swear, he fired on me."
"If there's a gun to find, Alicia, we'll find it.
Can you call Dylan for me? I don't want to be alone."
"Sure, I'll call him for you." He turned to the EMT. "Tommy, do me a favor. After you draw the blood, stay here with her until someone comes to be with her."
"I can do that."
Tommy motioned for Jesse to meet him around the side of the ambulance. "What is it?"
"What if the investigators ask me what I overheard between you and her?"
Jesse patted Tommy on the shoulder. "If they ask, you tell them the truth."
"You sure, Chief?"
"Uh-huh." Jesse walked away, digging his cell phone out of his jacket and punching up Dylan's number.
"What's up, Jesse? You calling about the fire?"
"Fire?"
"Yeah, the gatehouse at the Nolan place. Chief Wilson says it was arson."
"That's not why I'm calling, Dylan. There's been a shooting involving Alicia." There were a few seconds of stunned silence before Dylan spoke.
"Is she all right?"
"I think she's probably in a lot of trouble. She shot a suspect, and we can't find the suspect's weapon."
"Oh, shit. Where is she?"
"Newton Alley."
"I'll be there in 10 minutes.
"Dylan, before you come, take down this phone number. Do you have something to write on?"
"Go ahead, Jesse."
Jesse recited a 10-digit number with a Boston area code. "Call him."
"Who is he?"
"Monty Bernstein. He's half shark, half lawyer. Do you understand?"
"I do."
Dylan clicked off. Jesse buried his phone back in the pocket of his jacket, gloved up and ducked under the yellow tape. He supposed he should have done this first, but the dead man was beyond his help, and he had just given Alicia all the help he could. At the front end of the alley, he swerved around 8 numbered placards and shell casings. At the walled end of the slip, Dr. Minter was dealing with the body. His back was to Jesse, obscuring Jesse's view of the dead man. All Jesse could see were his feet and the large pool of blood. He noted several bullet scars on the back brick wall.
"What's the word, Doc?"
3 obvious wounds, one in the chest, one in the lower abdomen, and one in the upper left thigh, any one of which might have been fatal."
"Any ID on him?"
"I believe he has a wallet in his back right pocket."
"Would it be okay if I had a look?"
"I'll hand it to you," Minter said, obviously annoyed.
When Jesse flipped open the wallet and saw the name on the New York State driver's license, the knot in his gut nearly snapped.
"Well, Chief Stone," Minter said, "what's the victim's name?"
Jesse thought he heard himself say, John W. Vanderkamp.